All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel, chapter 2. I talked to my dad Monday night on the phone, and he said that guy did it again in his Sunday school class. He played one of my CDs for their Sunday school class. I said, "Dad, you are going to get church just as sure as you're standing there. You're going to get church." He gets my CDs, and he gives them to all these guys down there at his church in Charleston. And they take them and listen to them, and then this one guy takes them and plays them for his adult Sunday school class. And so, y'all pray for me, all right? Everybody says, "Pastor, aren't you afraid preaching on the subject that you're preaching on? Aren't you afraid somebody's going to try and hurt you?" I'm afraid that preacher down in Charleston's going to try and hurt me is what I'm afraid of. But anyway, you never know. You never know. All right, take your Bibles, please, and let's look at this Daniel chapter 2. This is a tremendous chapter where Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. Now, if you'll remember, go back to verse 3. He said, "And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." So Daniel is called, and Nebuchadnezzar went to all of his soothsayers and all of his magicians and tried to get them to tell him the dream and to then interpret the dream, but none of them could do it. And so Daniel got word of this, and he says that in verse 28, he said, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the..." What's the next two words? What is it now? Latter days. All right, now that's important. All right, there is a God in heaven. Everybody look at verse 28. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now, folks, Daniel is a prophecy book. Would you agree to that? It is a book of prophecy. There are some books in the Bible that are in the Old Testament, and they have a sister book in the New Testament. For example, Leviticus in the Old Testament has a sister book, Hebrews, in the New Testament. There is the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, and it has a sister book, the book of Romans, in the New Testament. And there is a prophecy book in the Old Testament. It is called Daniel. And there is a sister book that is a book of prophecy. That is the book of the Revelation. And one thing that you're going to see as you read the Bible is whether you're reading Old Testament or New Testament, it doesn't make any difference. The Bible is never going to contradict itself. Amen. It's never going to do it. If you find a contradiction, it is something you just don't understand yet. You can be assured there is no contradiction in the Bible. Now, in Daniel, we have a book of prophecy. If you will hold your place here and go over to the 12th chapter, and look at verse 4. He said in 12:4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the," what? End. All right, so this book, the book of Daniel, is a book of prophecy. It is dealing, according to verse 28 of chapter 2, it is a prophecy about the latter days. Nod your heads. Everybody with me on that? And I'm not trying to fool you. I'm trying to get you to see the simple, basic principle here that is found in this book. All right? So look down now at verse 31. And let's read a few verses here. "Thou, O king," this is Daniel speaking now, and he's explaining to Nebuchadnezzar his dream. Nobody else could do that, but Daniel does it. Verse 31. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out with hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. All right, now notice the wording. Notice the wording, last part of the verse, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. So the stone rolled down the hill, and it hit the feet, which were iron and clay. Now read the rest of it. Hit the feet first. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces. What's the next word?
Together.
Very important. So the stone rolls down the mountain, hits the feet first, and then shatters the rest of the image, going from the feet first to the legs, to the thighs and belly, to the chest and the arms, to the head. And then it's all destroyed at the same time. You with me? All right. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, there's 35, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together. You just might want to draw a circle around that word together. That is so key. Put a flashing neon sign on your Bible right there. And became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great, what?
Mountain.
What are mountains? Empires, kingdoms. Very good. And filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. All right, so in the verses I just read for you, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. And I can imagine, can't you see Nebuchadnezzar sitting there? His eyes are probably as big as saucers. That is exactly what he dreamed. All right, now here's the interpretation. Look at verse 37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Now Nebuchadnezzar was king of what nation? Babylon. All right, so who's the head? Babylon. Very good. Not a trick question. Verse 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And a fourth kingdom. All right, now let's go back. You've got the head. Are you watching me? You got the head. That's one. You've got the chest and the arms. That's two. You've got the belly and the thighs. That's three. And you've got the legs. That's four. You with me so far? Verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. So the iron is the fourth kingdom. Verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. Now what was number four? What was number four? Iron, right? And now look here. He's now describing the toes, or a fifth, if you will. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, did you catch that? And in the days of these kings, what kings? Well, evidently he's referring to the toes that are on the feet. In the days of these kings. Now, do you remember last week when we were looking at Revelation 17? How many kings were there? How many? 10. Not kingdoms, kings. How many were there? 10 kings. All right, remember that now. Remember, the Bible goes together. And in those days, verse 44, or in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, bless now. Help us as we look at this, and I pray that you will guide and direct and help me to say what I need to say. But Lord, give us understanding of thy word. And Lord, we certainly do honor your word. We thank you for it. We realize, Lord, the importance of the word of God. And I pray that you will bless tonight as we look at this very crucial chapter in the Bible explaining the second coming of Christ. Lord, bless us now, and we'll be sure to thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Nebuchadnezzar was without a doubt one of the greatest kings that ever reigned in all of human history. King of Babylon. And king of Babylon, when Babylon was at its zenith of power, his kingdom was unmatched by any other during his time. The kingdom of Babylon was basically a city-state, and it was centrally located in what was at the time a very beautiful city built by the Babylonian people, and yet their influence was extended throughout the entire Middle East. Now, in the chapter that we just read, or just read portions of, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and where in this dream, he saw a massive statue of a man that was made of various metals. And when he woke up the next morning, he remembered that he had a dream, but he could not remember what the dream was. And since he could not remember what the dream was, he did not know what it meant. But he knew that he had had a dream, and it was driving him crazy. So in the first part of the chapter, he calls in his soothsayers and his magicians and his astrologers, and he wanted them to do two things. The first thing he wanted them to do was tell him the dream that he had. He couldn't remember it, so he was wanting them to get in touch with the spirits and have the spirits reveal to him what he had dreamed the night before. But the second thing he wanted them to do was, after they explained to him the dream that he had, he wanted them to interpret the dream so that he would have an understanding of what it meant. And of course, you know the story, none of these soothsayers, none of these magicians, none of these astrologers could do that. God did not allow the devil to help them or give them any inclination, and they were dumb in the matter and could offer no help whatsoever. So in comes Daniel, and God revealed to Daniel the dream, and he told the king exactly what he saw in the dream the night before. We read this in verse 31 through verse 35 that we read just a moment ago. And then in verse 36 and following, God reveals to Daniel, and Daniel reveals then to the king the interpretation of the dream. And he tells him in no uncertain terms that he was the head of gold that was on the statue. But after Babylon, he informs him that there would be other kingdoms that would follow. Now, by far, the predominant position throughout my lifetime, and one I'm sure that you have taught, and one that I taught you a couple of years ago when we went through the book of Daniel, has been that following the Babylonians was the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, and then that was followed, number three, by Greece, and then that was followed, number four, by Rome, and that eventually there would be a revival of the Roman Empire, and that revived Roman Empire during the tribulation period would be represented by the 10 toes and the common teaching or the common understanding is that the Antichrist would be European, that the false prophet would be out of the Church of Rome and would be the Pope, and therefore would come out of Europe also. And so the 10 toes of Daniel would be a revival of the Roman Empire, and it would be what we commonly have referred to as the European common market. All right, now that's the traditional theory of explaining this. That's the common position that has been taken, and I have taught it, and you have learned it, and then I started all this, and I realized that, you know, there's probably another explanation, and there is another explanation. I want to give that to you tonight. Now, if you want to believe that what you've always been taught, then have at it. It's not going to change the timing of the rapture. And when the rapture takes place, and if you get a free minute during the marriage supper of the Lamb and you want to peek over and see what's going on down here, you might just say, yep, Pastor was right on that one. I don't know. But it's not going to change. What I have been giving you and what I'm going to give you tonight does not change the scope of eschatology. It does not do it. It just simply gives you an explanation that ties the Bible together. Remember, we have been learning that from Isaiah and from Ezekiel and from Daniel and from Hosea and Joel and Amos and the Psalms. And we have learned from the book of Numbers with Balaam. And we have learned from Zechariah and Zephaniah and Haggai and Malachi and from John in Revelation that the nations that will be rallied and in confederate with one another when the Lord returns to do battle at the Battle of Armageddon are the nations that form a crescent around the country of Israel today. And ironically, each and every one of those nations is an Islamic nation. They are Muslim to the core. We have also learned that there is an eschatology in Islam is Christianity flipped upside down. We have learned that the Bible has an eschatology. Eschatology is the study of future things. And that's what we're doing in Daniel. We're looking at prophecy, future things, latter days. That's what Revelation is all about. That's what Matthew 24 and 25 are all about. That's what Luke 19 is all about. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and 2 Peter chapter 3. All of these passages of Scripture are eschatology. They are telling you what is going to happen in the last days. And so as we have looked at all of these neglected books in the Bible, all of these prophecies from Isaiah, from Isaiah all the way through Malachi, from the Psalms in David, in Psalm 83, in Psalm 79, in Psalm 2, when we looked at all of these prophecies, we saw they all had one thing in common. They all list names. They all name people. They all name nations. And every one of them is there when the Lord returns to do battle. Now, then we get to, we see all that. And we understand all that. But then somehow or another, when we get to Daniel and when we get to Revelation, to Daniel 2 and Revelation 17, we want to go against the clear instruction from these prophets in the Bible. And it's almost like we just draw a blank and forget all that we have already learned and read from the scripture. And what we want to do is insert Rome into the interpretation of the Word of God. Now, that's why I made such a big deal a couple of weeks ago to tell you that Revelation 17, John went to great lengths to tell us that the great harlot that he was describing was specifically called Babylon. She was not called Rome. She was not called Europe. She was not called America. She was not called Great Britain. She was called Babylon. And yet, we just want to change it and make it Rome. Now, before I explain to you another way of looking at this image that Daniel interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar, let me ask you to do just one thing. All right? Forget everything you've ever learned. All right? Just forget it for a minute. If you just forget it, and in other words, when I'm giving you what I'm about to give you, if you're not sitting there taking what you've already learned and comparing one thing with another, if you're not sitting there trying to compare and contrast the two, you'll be able to get it, and then later on you can compare and contrast it if you want to. But I need to make a very important statement here. I've already hinted at it when I read the scripture to you, but let me make just one real quick statement here and explain something or say something that is very important in this passage of scripture. It is crucial to understand that the statue represents past kingdoms that are destroyed together when Christ returns. Now that is emphasized very clearly. That is emphasized in verse 35. Look very carefully at verse 35. It says, "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces." And what's the next word? Together. All right? Together. So they are broken together. Now, when are they broken together? Look at your Bible. They are broken together when this stone, verse 34, rolls down the hill, the stone that was cut without hands. They're broken together when the stone crushes them. Right? All right, now look over, please, at verse 44. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." What kingdom is that? When is the God of heaven going to set up a kingdom on this earth? During the millennium. Very good. And when is he going to do that? When he comes back at his second coming. You with me? All right. So here's where we've gotten off point. Here's where we've gotten off point. What we have done is we have interpreted Daniel chapter 2 as if it was historical. It's not historical, it's future. It's prophecy. You say, well, Nebuchadnezzar was Babylon. True. The Medes and the Persians were the breastplate, the breast and the arms. True. Well, the Greeks. So that's history. It was not history at the time. It was prophecy. And what you have is way back here when Daniel got interpreted the dream, everything that he interpreted was prophecy, except for the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was standing there. But the Medes and the Persians were yet to come. And the Greeks were yet to come. And the Ottomans were yet to come. And the Antichrist and his kingdom with the 10 toes and the 10 kings that we read about in Revelation 17 were yet to come. So he's not speaking here historically. He is speaking here prophetically. All right, you see the point? So this is, and they're all broken together. Now that's important. So what did Daniel's back here, and he sees this thing, and he sees one kingdom, Babylon. That's the head. Remember now, what's Daniel eventually going to see? What's he going to show Nebuchadnezzar? He's going to show him one unit, one person, one kingdom, one man. Over here, he shows him a head, Babylon. He shows him a chest, the Medes and the Persians. He shows him a belly. He shows him legs. But by the time you get to the latter days, are you listening? By the time you get to the end, where the theme is, where the point is, he's not just giving him a history lesson, he is giving him a prophecy lesson. And he says that when Jesus comes back, when the stone comes and smashes the kingdom, it is the whole thing. They are all broken together. Amen. Now, how is that possible? How is that possible? This is where it gets good. All right, watch. This is future, not historical. And I think this is where we have gotten off point. The stone, after he rolls down the hill and smashes the whole statue, then becomes a great mountain. And we have learned that mountains are kingdoms. And this is the beginning of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice the point, folks. When Jesus returns, he will destroy all of these empires at the same time. Again, in verse 35, broken to pieces together. If the statue represents ancient Babylon, ancient Persia, ancient Greece, and ancient Rome, as is commonly taught, then why do we see all these empires destroyed in the end when Christ returns? If Daniel 2 speaks of history, how is the gold strictly representing ancient Babylon, now destroyed by the Messiah when he comes? So instead of looking at it from going backwards, look at it as a future event. Don't forget, folks, this is a prophecy. It does parallel with ancient events. But the book of Daniel is ultimately concerned with the end times. And that is what Daniel says in verse 28. He said, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar. How did he do that? In the vision. Maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. So this is prophecy. Daniel 2 is about the rise of the 10 toes in the last days that will come from the four ancient empires that will make up the empire of the Antichrist. All right? Now, everybody, look, slap yourself, get yourself good and awake. I got to say that again because that went right over your head. Let me say it again. Here it is. Daniel 2. Listen, make yourself think. Daniel 2 is about the rise of the 10 toes in the last days that will come from the four ancient empires that will make up the empire of the Antichrist. That's what all of these books are all about. That's what all of these books have been are here for. They are to tell us about this kingdom of the Antichrist and how he's going to be defeated by the Son of God when he comes again. All right? All right, everybody with me so far? All right, now, maybe this will help you. We know that Babylon is the golden head. Verse 37 tells us so. Then he says another kingdom would rise. Verse 39. And we know that that kingdom was the Medes and the Persians. Then he tells us in 39b, the second half of the verse, that a third kingdom would rise up. And we know that that kingdom would be the Greek Empire. Now, when you get to the end of the prophecy, the whole thing is one unit. It is one unit. He sees one man, one person. When you get to the end of the prophecy, the image is one image. It's one person. The statue is of gold. It is of silver. It is of brass. It is of iron. And it has iron and clay toes. And the stone rolls down the mountain, hits the toes, and topples the whole thing together. All right, so here's the sticky wicket. All right, here's where I deviate. Here's where I'm going to deviate now. So please forget everything you've learned and just listen. If you want to throw this aside and say, nah, I don't believe that, fine, go ahead. Go ahead. It ain't going to matter to me. I'm going to be in heaven. Really. But this makes so much sense to me. Now, here's where you have the deviation. We know, he said, Babylon is the head of gold. Now, what are we doing? We're building an image. We got a head. All right, now, if I was sitting here and a head comes down, I'm leaving. A head needs a body, right? All right, so here's a head. And then he said, you got a chest. And then he said, you've got thighs and a belly. Then he said, you got legs. Then he said, you got toes. Now, when you get from head to toe, you got it all. You with me? All right, now. I didn't have it written down. That just came to me. And I think that's so neat. All right, watch. Here's the head. We know it's Babylon, right? All right. We also know from Daniel, if you flip the page, that the next kingdom was the Medes and the Persians. We know that. All right. Then, if you flip the page again in Daniel, we know that the next kingdom was the Greeks. Now, question. Who is number four? Now, the common teaching is that it was Rome. I want to take issue with that. Is the fourth kingdom the iron, the Roman Empire? Well, let me take issue with it and let me explain why. There is something that needs to be remembered. Paralleling Daniel with Revelation. Remember, God told Daniel, seal up the book. Seal it up. How long? Till the end times. Then when you get to Revelation, God told John, open the book. And God filled in the blanks. All right? Now, remember that John, in chapter 17 of Revelation, saw the great harlot sitting upon many waters, and her name was Mystery Babylon. Remember that. Rome was mighty, and Rome was strong. Not denying that. But in 116 A.D., when Emperor Trajan tried to conquer Babylon, he had conquered everything else in the area. He had conquered every other people. But when Trajan, the Roman emperor, came against Babylon, he was immediately beaten back. And he never, nor did anyone else, try it again. They never tried it again. The Roman Empire, here's the point. The Roman Empire and the old Babylonian Empire never overlapped. Now, the Medes and the Persians, they conquered Babylon. And the Greeks conquered the Medes and the Persians and thus conquered Babylon. But when the Romans came along, they conquered everybody else in the region. But when they tried in 116 AD, when they tried to conquer Babylon, they failed. And they never conquered Babylon. You say, well, what's the point? Notice that that Daniel saw in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the stone rolled down the mountain and hit the iron, verse 45. And when it does hit the iron and the fourth empire is destroyed, this will include all the others as well. So how could the stone roll down the mountain over here in the future, at least 7 years from tonight? Right? How could this stone roll down the mountain at least 7 years from tonight and destroy the whole image and Rome be a part of it if Rome never, never conquered Babylon? You say, well then, Pastor, who would the legs be? There's only one empire that conquered Babylon after Greece. It was not Rome. It was the Ottomans, the Turks. The Turkish Empire, the only one. By the way, do you remember in Revelation 17? Remember that? You had these nations. Go back there. Just make sure we're all on the same page. Remember, remember verse 10? There are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. All right? Seven kings and seven plus one. Remember that? All right? Now, the key here in Revelation 17 is Jerusalem. Remember, the Bible is Jerusalem-centered. And the key here, five are fallen. What were they? Egyptians, they ruled Jerusalem first. Assyrians, they ruled Jerusalem second. Then Babylon. Then the Medes and the Persians. Then the Greeks. There's five. One is, when John was living, that was Rome. Rome did not conquer Babylon, but it did conquer Jerusalem. And that's the one that John says is right now in verse 10. The other is not yet come. We identified that as the Turks. The Turks came after Muhammad got his religion going. And he went sweeping through Saudi Arabia and went sweeping across from village to village, killing Jews and marauding and raping and pillaging and doing. I mean, it was submit or die, which, by the way, Islam means to submit. And so here comes the Byzantine Empire. Here comes the Turks. Here comes tyranny. Here comes piracy. Here comes lunacy. And it did not end until 1923, when World War II was over. And when we won, with us in Britain, when we won World War I, the British took the Ottoman Empire and disbanded it. They gave the nations back. They gave all the nations back to the countries and gave them their old biblical names. Instead of the Turks, instead of the Ottoman Empire, they became known by what they were called in the Bible. Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Dedan, Tarshish. They got their old names back. Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. What's the identity of the fourth empire? Folks, staying on theme, which is that all the prophets from Moses to Balaam to David to Isaiah through Malachi all prophesied of the Messiah coming at the end of the tribulation period to fight against Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, Somalia, Libya, and all the stand boys. It's all through your Bible. But yet when we look at Daniel 2 and Revelation 17, we want to change the template and give the Bible a Western slant. No, no, no. Stay on theme. The first kingdom to invade and occupy Israel was Babylon. Then the Medes and Persians. The first kingdom to invade and occupy Israel was Babylon. Then the Medes and Persians came and they conquered Babylon. Then the Greeks came and they conquered the Medes and the Persians and they ruled over Babylon. But the Romans never did. That's the point. And that's what Daniel saw. When he got over here to the end, he saw the 10 toes come out, which is the same thing that John saw, 10 kings. What you have here in this image that Daniel saw is a revival of every nation that has ever conquered and ruled Babylon. Do you see it? Take Rome out of it, folks. Take Rome out. Hey, Europe is gone. They're gone. Take America out of it. I hate to say this, but America's gone. Unless God sends revival, we're sunk, folks. We're sunk unless God does something quick. Take America out of the picture. This has nothing to do with us. Can I remind you? We're gone. We're gone. Hallelujah. And then the Antichrist will rise. The false prophet will rise. The world will be standing around scratching its collective liberal head going, what in the world are we going to do? Oh, and some fearless leader will stand up and we need global initiative here. We need global. Let's go global. Let's get to the United Nations as quickly as we can and have a meeting. Let's appoint a commission. You understand what I'm saying to you? Boy, you get over here to the end, and finally, when you get to the end, here's this kingdom. Oh, by the way, the Antichrist, the Mahdi, let's have peace. Over here, let's have peace. I got the answers, people, trust me. Let's have peace. 3.5 years into it, all of a sudden he changes his tune. And he starts slaughtering people. You will submit or you will die. Chapter 20, Revelation. Chapter 20. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Man, that verse has bothered me for years. I see it now. And for 3.5 years, folks, listen, we've been, what, 1.5 years under this present administration? Seems like eternity, doesn't it? Can you imagine what, how long? 3.5 years. Oh, he can do a lot in 3.5 years. Look what this bunch has done in 1.5 years. Look at what they've done in 1.5 years. And they're not done. They're not done. They know what November's bringing. They know. The handwriting is on the wall. Amen. They know. If Jesus tarries his coming, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be surprised if he does. I really am. If November rolls around and rapture hadn't happened, I'm going to be the first one to stand up here and say, I can't believe it. It should have happened by now. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, but I will tell you, we're on borrowed time. And boy, he's got that kingdom, and here are these 10 kings, here's these 10 toes, and they're ready to destroy Israel. And all of a sudden, here comes the stone rolling down a mountain. Slams into the toes, but when the toes are hit, the legs go, the thighs go, the belly goes, the chest goes, the head goes, and our Savior sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. So, Daniel chapter 2, I think, fits pretty good with what I've been trying to get you to see. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. All right, I got 1 minute. You got a piece of paper? You got a piece of paper? All right, let me have you write something. Let me just have you write this, and you take it home and study it. Are you ready? All right, I want you to put chapter 2, verse 32 and 33. All right? All right, now watch. Column here, column here, and a column here. All right? Over here, real simple. Over here, you write head, number 2, breast and arms, number 3, belly, thighs. Number 4, legs. Number 5, feet. All right? Just like we got the image here. You with me? All right, let me say it again. Head, breast and arms, belly, thighs, legs, feet. Everybody got it? All right, come across. Write fine gold. Fine, F-I-N-E. Till Billy for real good. Fine gold, number 2, silver, number 3, brass, number 4, iron, number 5, iron and clay. All right, just like it's in the image. You see what I'm doing? All right, let's review. Head, breasts and arms, belly, thighs, legs and feet. Got it? Fine gold, silver, brass, iron and clay. Got it? All right, now go over here to the third column. Write first, F-I-R-S-T. Write under the next one, second. Under the next one, third. Under the next one, fourth. Under the next one, fifth. And then in parentheses outside of fifth, write recreation of fourth. Recreation of fourth. Recreation of fourth. Folks, look here. Babylon, conquered by the Medes and Persians, conquered by Greece, conquered not by Rome. They never did it. They got everything else, but they never conquered Babylon. Never. Who did? The Ottomans. All right? One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. And the only thing left were the toes. And when that stone came out of the mountain, it hit the toes. Why? Because John said, I saw 10 kings. And so the toes are a revival. They come out of the Ottoman Empire. Where was the Ottoman Empire? Israel, right here. There's your Ottoman Empire. What are all these books? Who are they naming that will be on the judgment end when the stone rolls down the mountain? Daniel said it. Ezekiel said it. Isaiah said it. Jeremiah said it. Malachi, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, all of them. David, Moses, they all said that when he comes back, these people are who he's fighting. These are the nations that he's attacking. And what do they all have in common? Islam.